You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Nau no mai, hoki mai, you're back on the wire. Ko hira ahau, I whakarongona koe ki te wire, marunga irirangi poho. And right now we have another wonderful piece from Zoe. This is with regards to something that a lot of creativity is facing in coronavirus times: delays and cancellations. It is tough to find an event which hasn't been touched by COVID-19, and this year's Auckland Fringe Festival is definitely no exception. Not 12 hours into its run did the festival have to be postponed during the first lockdown of the COVID-19 pandemic in Tāmaki Makaurau. And this week's move to level 3 has seen the festival postponed again. To touch base on how the artists are holding up, Zoe spoke to the festival's director, Bonnie Te Rongopai Tuki Waiho. Before getting into the nitty-gritty COVID-19 stuff, though, they speak about the history of the festival and what it means to be Bonnie Te Rongopai.
The Fringe had started in Edinburgh in the 60s, and it was in response to the need for artists to be able to activate their art outside of the curated spaces. So artists were being sick and tired of not being a part of an elitist establishment, so they created the Fringe Festival. And essentially, it's called the Fringe Festival because everything was activated at the fringe of the city centre in Edinburgh. Since the 60s, it's grown to about 86 festivals around the world, I believe. Tāmaki Makaurau, we are one of five here in Aotearoa. And that's Tāmaki, that's Pōneke, Wellington, Dunedin, Nelson, and I believe Hastings also has one. Oh, aroha mai. There's also one in Whangarei now, and they had their first one last year, so we're looking at six.
As director, what has been a priority for you during this festival?
This is my second festival, and I took over directorship about 6 weeks before the 2020 delivery happened. So I've been in this specific job for a short amount of time in a really impactful year. My background is in working with marginalised communities. I also have a background working with well-being, wellness. So what I've done is I've kind of woven all of the different aspects from previous experiences and brought that to the table with me. For myself as an artist, I come as a musician, as an actor, as a director and a producer. And so I've woven all of those things together to be able to help me with the platform here. So consequently, part of what we wove into the existing fabric of Auckland Fringe was the idea of what it was to engage authentically from a hauora, a wellness perspective, and to try and understand how we can look at creating a wider invitation to a regional festival.
Now that the festival has been affected by the latest lockdown, what has that meant for the program and the shows that were meant to be running this week?
The biggest trauma for any artists who are impacted by something like this is the fact that they're not able to ignite or activate their art. With the whakapapa that I have within the hauora space, it's been really helpful to be able to look at how it is that we can hold our artists, hold the sector that we're a part of in a way that helps to mitigate stresses. That's by implementing really concise and consistent communications via our social medias, with our artists, with our venues, being really open to hearing what the needs are and figuring out how it is that we can work alongside what's happening to navigate, as opposed to combating it. And what's been really lucky for us in this case is that we have had the year to understand what it meant for many other spaces to have to go through lockdowns. So we've been implementing tools and resources throughout the year just in case. Unfortunately, we have had to use them. I think one of the biggest stresses at the moment for our artists is that it's not only one lockdown and a continuous lockdown, it's the in and out space.
Are there plans later on in the year to hopefully have these shows on again?
Yeah, so what we've done after the first lockdown on the 14th, which actually was also our opening, so we opened at 11 a.m. and we had to close that same evening. So we had 3 days to figure out how we could navigate forward. What we made the decision to do at that time was to move our closing date. And what we hoped that would do was allow those artists who were impacted by the first closure to negotiate with their venues or with their partners how they might be able to reactivate their pieces a few weeks down the track. So we've extended it to about a 5-6 weeks longer. That doesn't mean we're opening up for anyone else to submit anything, but what we hope to do by opening that out, they will still feel supported. We're able to support in the best way that we can.
Around the world, theatre has become quite experimental over the last year, with lots of new online productions happening and quite innovative pieces being made to adapt to the changing times. In terms of other genres in the arts, how well do you think the theatre scene and a festival like Fringe does at adapting to COVID-19?
I think it depends on the resources and the tools that you have. And I'm not saying that money is everything, but money is helpful. Resources are helpful. If you're able to mitigate and have the opportunity to create digital response, oftentimes that actually requires you to have the financial resource as well. But most artists who engage with us are at the start of their journeys.
On that note of money, how have you found the support offered to the arts by the government during COVID-19?
Do you know what? It's very obvious that it is there, but also not everyone has access to the funds that are available. Not everyone has the understanding of how to engage with that space. And there's nothing that's put in place to help those who need to navigate the tools or the resources, or to figure out how they can become a part of it. I think overall, if we're talking about resilience and sustainability, there needs to be more than just the handouts in small increments. There needs to be a way for people to have a better understanding of how to access, how to move forward, and how to navigate.
It's not a secret that the arts are underfunded. Why do you think that is? Why do you think the arts are often undervalued?
The arts is undervalued because people don't think it's valuable until they need it. This pandemic is a prime example. You can still see the rhetoric being written around the least important jobs are in the arts. But as soon as you can't leave your house, the first thing people turn to are books, music, movies, anything that has an artist attached to it. It's systemic change, I feel, that would be helpful here as well, because specifically in New Zealand, for example, the sports arena is considered to be a lot more valuable than the arts arena. But that's also fed to us by the systems. And if the systems change, that will allow our rhetoric to permeate further and for us to have stronger voices in the right places.
I think it was Chloe Swarbrick, the Auckland Central MP, who was having a discussion with someone she knew about why Auckland can't be like a city such as Berlin, where it's very desirable for artists to live in and stay in. What do you think needs to be done here in Tāmaki Makaurau to help foster that environment where artists want to stay?
To be honest with you, I thought that's a difficult question to answer, because I think all art is individual. All artists have their own whakaaro, their own thoughts around their processes and how they engage with their art, and then how their art then can be engaging to their audiences. But overall, again, it goes back to value and what the systems allow us to be valued as. Now, that's not to say that we as the artists can't stand forward and help people to help to show people the value that we have. But the fight is a historical fight as well. Art has been around forever. But when people are told that it's not valuable, that it should be secondary, and it's a constant rhetoric, it'll be the thing at the forefront of people's minds. We need voices who will be listened to, is pretty much what I'm trying to say.
I was going to say on a positive note, but I guess you can take this question any way you want it to be. What do you envision the future of the Auckland Fringe Festival to be?
Ah, Poiana. Well, I will take your widow and I will make it positive. do you know what? I have my personal vision and hope for the festival is that we continue to grow, reach further across our region and help artists to understand that activation of arts doesn't need to be valued by what other people tell us it should be. My belief is that we have the opportunity and the potential to be a forerunner in artistic platforms for Tamaki Makaurau to help uplift artists in a regional space as opposed to just centralized. And that's cross-sectional too, like multi-singing, music, fine arts. I believe we're a strong platform to be able to uplift, hold and look after. And forecasting forward, I think it's a place that we can use to help encourage artists to experiment more and to not be devalued by what systems tell us.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.